Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees
what's up,
are falling to the sound
to the
of the
Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz back from New York.
Man,
what a town. What a town. I'll tell you. It's, you got to be rich to live there, baby. But so, what'd you think of the Fed? Another laughable matter of stupidity, ignorance, and as I said on Fox, cluelessness. They have no clue. They are lost. They are done. They don't know what the hell's next. It's really a shame and sad that those are the people that are controlling our lives. Think about that for a minute. You want to get nauseous. Think about who has control over what you're doing. Okay? I mean, there was no doubt that they weren't going to raise rates. I mean, you know, of course, there was no doubt in December, and they managed to do it anyways. But the markets had it all priced in. Listen, the stock market had it right. You know, the bond market had it right. Okay? Because they were telling you. You know, you have to, when you look at a market, you got to understand, okay, that the markets know, and this is the problem, okay? Well, how do the markets know? Well, the markets continue to stay up near all-time highs, indicating that the Fed had no intentions of raising, okay? Because otherwise the markets would start to sell off. Because, again, there are a lot of people in this market that do not want to be there. So as long as the interest rates are at zero, you have prevented anybody from going anywhere else. Okay, now obviously there's some nice investments out there, but most people can't afford to be in investments that are not liquid, that are designed to be over time. Okay, so for the average guy, the average investment, they need to be in a liquid product. Okay, so that's why the stock market is popular, because of the liquidity that it provides. Okay, but so there's a lot of people that don't want to be in there. So we knew that was pretty good. And of course, the bond market, if you haven't been paying attention, I mean, 30-year bonds have been going straight up. They've made another high. Okay, the 10-year note futures have gone straight up. And of course, the futures are now down in the, you know, 1.6, 1.55 area. They'll float a little bit around there. But so right there, everything was saying to you, hey, we're not raising rates. We have no intention of raising rates. Why? Because we don't have to. Because we don't know what to do. Because we're afraid. We're afraid that the little stock market might sell off. And all this hard work, all the $4 trillion we put out that we printed for you may not be good enough. We know it's not good enough. We know they did a horseshit job. We know that the Fed doesn't have any clue of what they're doing, and they don't have any idea what they're doing next. But yet they'll tell you. And you listen to the speech. If you listen to Janet Yellen speak, first of all, you need a dictionary because of all the words she was using. Who the hell knew what she was talking about? Okay. But second of all, they don't know what's next. And they try all they want to say, we need inflation. Well, I don't know about you, but food and gas is a hell of a lot higher. Now, I know it doesn't count. I don't know why, but it doesn't count. Okay. But you know that, so the inflation target is stupid, okay? The rest of their ridiculous manners is there growth? There isn't any growth. Who are they kidding when they talk about growth? There is no growth in the economy. There may be growth in a few select areas, okay? And I can see that, but overall, the middle class is in the middle of nowhere, okay? And that is a bigger problem that, again, we keep forgetting about, okay? Right now, the Fed is only concerned with the uber wealthy, okay? Now, I don't know if you saw this stat, Okay. But yesterday, I believe that there was $378 million or something like that, or billion, I forget the number, whatever it was, donated to charity. Okay. The highest ever. But do you realize who's doing the donating? It's not the middle class doing the donating that creates that number. It's the wealthy. Because the middle class is dying to survive. We're not having, we're having trouble day to day surviving through these challenging times of what the idiotic monetary policy that we've seen. You know, you got to remember, if you continue to print money and devalue what you have, you're not accomplishing anything. You've now come down to, all the companies are buying back their stock, they're looking to do some acquisitions, and you're making everybody too big to fail again. This is the path that we're being led down. This is the path of destruction, okay, that we see that you have going on in the world today. Forget about the markets right now, but in the world today, you have a problem because nothing is good. Okay, it's a simple mathematical formula. Okay, if you based your lifestyle based on a $50,000 a year salary, but now you're making 30, you got problems. Okay, and that is probably a pretty good schematic for the general populace. Okay, we're making less money. Okay, now what happens when you get the unexpected bill all of a sudden? Okay, you know, as you know, anybody out there who's a homeowner knows that there's always the unexpected. Okay, there's always something, always is going wrong, which is why a house is the bottomless pit of spending. Okay, but so now you've got, most people are making less money. That's not me saying, that's a fact. Okay, it's a mathematical fact that you just read, any, even they admit that people are making less money. Okay, so you're making less money, so how are you going to spend? How are you going to spend more if you're making less? And what I don't understand is, it's so simple. Why can't the MIT graduates and the Columbia graduates and the Princeton graduates, I mean, those are the finest institutions in the world, okay? Why can't they figure that out, okay? I mean, this is like fifth grade math, okay? If I'm making less money today than I made yesterday, but I have the same expenses I had yesterday, I think I got a problem in surviving. Now, doesn't that just rattle your trap? I mean, doesn't that just frost your ass when you hear somebody supposed to be one of the smartest people come back and tell you something silly like that? I mean, you know, again, so this goes back to a growth model. Now, you know, there's a lot of ways to promote growth, okay, and we'll get into them in the next spot. But there's a lot of things that could be done if they weren't so stubborn and they weren't so busy trying to screw the American people, okay? Because that's really what they're doing, okay? The big banks who own the Fed are screwing the American people because they want the money. And I don't blame them. If I could do it, I might do it too. I doubt it though, because I don't think I have the balls to do what these jackasses do. I find it, you know, annoying. Okay, so you know, to me, it's a bad deal. And we'll get more into this. We'll get more into the bad deal after this. But in the meantime, Thinkorswim, our friends. Okay, you know, it's one of the platforms I use. Very user friendly. They do a great job at trying to educate. They have swim lessons every day from 11:30 to 1 Eastern time. They have technically speaking from 1 to 1:30. And they have the plunge from 1:30 to 2:30. Now, again, obviously you can't make them all. Something's got to work. But, you know, you can get them in. You check them out. Great to be there. Check them out. Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. In the meantime, when you miss an episode, and shame on you for doing that, but when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm gets you the download of every Bubba show, also of the Sporting Edge. So make sure you check it out. In the meantime, I'm going to step out of here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. We'll be right back.
It's the time of the season. When we
I guess the Fed, I guess if you talk about low-hanging fruit and somebody easy to pick on, it's certainly the Federal Reserve. It's always good. Always got a lot of topics, especially after a Fed meeting. I'm watching all these idiots speak, and I don't know if you caught David Stockman on, and of course he's turned into a flaming gold guy, which is nothing wrong with that. But he did, you know, he was on the budget committee with Ronald Reagan, and you know he's become one of these guys as well. But if you listen, and it's amazing when I look at it and I go. I said, why is everybody afraid of the Federal Reserve? Why doesn't everybody have the balls to step up and say, you guys are stupid. You don't know what you're doing. Okay? I don't really understand. I mean, I watch these interviews, and obviously you have to be courteous, but how come nobody ever asks a tough question? I don't understand it. I mean, to me, if you go back to 2010, because I was doing YouTube videos then every day, like 3-4 minutes. And I'd like to find them because it's funny because I talked about all the stuff that was going to happen then that's happening now. That you cannot borrow your way out of debt. Okay? You cannot shut out the middle class, which is what we've done. So I said at last segment that we would talk about some of the things that can be done. Well, the first thing that really has to be done is they have to raise rates. They have to increase liquidity and lending so that the average guy on the street can borrow money. Because the peer-to-peer lending is going to be a disaster. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But you have to create entrepreneurs. Okay? What you've done now is you have ruined an entire generation of jobs. Because you forced these corporations, I didn't force them, they had to learn a lesson. And unfortunately, they learned a bad lesson that they could work with less people. Okay? And basically, because there were so many crappy jobs out there and so many of us are working at crappy jobs, that an employer can now say to you, hey, you don't like it, quit, we'll get somebody else, or work harder. Okay? So now jobs have become, working for big companies has really become a job. Okay? Before, there was so many employees, and again, part of it's correct, and part of it should be that way, because again, you should work hard, and I'm in all agreement with that. But it happened too fast for everybody. So you have to create a new generation of entrepreneurs, okay, that can build into larger companies. But what happens is when companies build, they hire, and when they hire, typically a new company has to pay more so you get better salaries. If you get better salaries, you get more spending and you get more people out on the street taking care of business. Okay? So that becomes its own best friend because when people work, they spend. We are, as I've said many times here, a month-to-month society. Nobody cares how much it costs. Everybody cares how much does it cost by the month, because then you do go through your quick budget. I can make this, I can make that payment. But when your payroll or your salary gets cut and you're now making less, but you based it on more, it becomes a problem. So we need banks to lend. Banks will not lend at the current lending rates. Now they'll lend, obviously, the big guys, but they're not going to lend the average guy. They're not going to take a speculative loan and lend it to some guy who's going to open a business and become an entrepreneur. Because they don't want to take the risk. And do you blame them? I mean, I know the banks are involved, and I'm not a big fan, especially of the big banks. In fact, I detest Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Citigroup, and those, because I think they have too much power, and I think they're more of the cause to a lot of these problems than they are help. But the smaller community banks, I think they're phenomenal. And unfortunately, their own people screw them. Okay, banks screwing banks because they pay their fee charges to like the organization, so to speak, the club, are much higher in percentage to what the big guys pay. You know, that goes to the compliance issue we've talked about many times where, you know, the compliance officers always get the low-hanging fruit because they know that it's a battle that they're going to win because who can afford to fight compliance? Okay, because it goes back into the lawyers. Because the lawyers do nothing but, you know, rob you too. I mean, imagine lawyer making $700 an hour, $1,000 an hour, $2,000. I mean, what the hell's worth that? Okay, but they can get it. That goes back to the free market society, right? See, this is the problem is that we don't have free markets, true free markets. We don't have true price discovery. We don't have the ability for somebody to negotiate a fair deal. And that becomes a problem because there's a million lawyers out there that'll take a million cases, but they all charge. Okay, you can find a few that'll be a little bit less, but if they're less, you're probably getting less. Okay, but in the meantime, any litigation, the lawyers always end up with more of the money than anybody else. Okay, but the point here is that if you don't create new jobs and you don't create good jobs, you end up with no middle class. You end up with no spending. You end up with no excess capital. And the way that Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and all those people with their minimum wage requirements, all they're doing is putting people out of work. Because as you can see now, Walmart is going to automated counting, where they have a job that used to take three people, now takes one. Okay? And believe me, they're at a better position. They're at lower risk because it's counting money. So now you only have to watch one person count instead of three. So nobody's putting the hundreds in their pocket. Okay. Now, if you take that and you look at everything else that's going on, everything is becoming more automated. I mean, that is the way of the world anyways. I mean, that was coming, but we could have done it in a better way and at a slower pace to allow people to educate themselves and move forward. That's the real issue here, is we don't have the time to educate people that are uneducated, especially in technology. Obviously, technology is the new thing. Technology is where we're going. So, but a guy like me, I don't know anything about technology, and I'm not going back to learn it myself. But there are a lot of people younger than me that would go back and learn, because that's where the money's at right now. But when you destroy an entire sector of jobs, what we've done is we've destroyed manufacturing, machine tool workers, coal. Now, you didn't have to do it this way, okay? Which is another problem, okay? Especially in the coal industry, they could have done it slower and said, okay, we're gonna stay in coal for 5 years, and in 5 years, we're shutting you down, okay? And then you could have given all these people a chance to get educated while they were still making a good living, still spending, still stimulating the economy, instead of now putting them all on the company payroll or on some sort of a benefit program. Okay. That is another problem that is here that is big that has to be resolved. And until we resolve these problems, in other words, until we go back to a free market society, until we let the markets decide price, we are going to have this issue. And when you have the Fed underlying all markets and central banks around the world underlying all markets, you will not have a free market society. So if you're not allowed to fail, it doesn't clean the system of the crap, but it continues to be money that has to be designated and then put back together. There lies the bigger problem that we are not addressing, and by their idiotic policies, they're not addressing them. See, the markets need to collapse. The bad companies need to be out. We need to create the new markets and the new supply-demand model for help and for everything else to rebuild this country. Now, we've talked many times about the war effect. We could rebuild this country with all the money they threw away. We could have rebuilt it 15 times. But, of course, that would have been too easy, and the rich wouldn't have been able to steal as much money. But the truth of it is the rich would have got the money anyways, because the people who were earning it would have spent it. But this is, again, a problem when you have people that have no idea of what a business model is supposed to be running a business. Okay. Again, it goes back to the same thing. If any of us did what they're doing, we'd be either in bankruptcy court or in jail. And, of course, they should be in jail because they have destroyed America the way we know it and love it. But we're going to get it back, but it's going to take time. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure when you miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm, and you can download The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge. We are now just past 225,000 downloads a month. We need to get to 300 and then to a million. I need your help. Get out there and download that show. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Mavoritz. We will be right back with you after the break.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, obviously, earlier in the week, we had a major tragedy. Another avoidable tragedy. But, of course, the idiots in charge think that gun control is more important than controlling the problem. And, you know, it's my understanding that this guy was under FBI investigation a couple of times. They let him go. He's on the no-fly list. They let him buy a gun, which I think you listen to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump says, if you're on the no-fly list, how can you let him buy a gun? I don't care if you like Trump or not. How can you disagree with that? Okay. But we have Clinton and Sanders and Obama trying to get rid of guns. Now, do we actually think that the banks, the gangsters, and the bad guys aren't getting guns? You ever hear of the black market? I mean, I know you have. So do we think that these idiots really think that that's going to solve a problem? Okay. Now, you know, I don't know. I never owned a gun. I might have shot one once or twice in my life. I have no interest in them. But certainly there are many gun enthusiasts, and I understand the problem with the automatic weapons. But do you think you're going to stop the drug dealers from getting automatic weapons? Really? Do you think you're going to stop ISIS from getting automatic weapons? I mean, if you do, you're just kidding yourself. I mean, you might as well duck your head like an ostrich in a hole, because they're going to get what they always get because they've always had them. Again, you go back to the 20s and the gangsters. Okay. But you got to listen to Trump here on this part of it. Again, I don't agree with everything he says, but, you know, if you're on the no-fly list, you should not be able to buy a gun. That should be automatic. Okay, if you're on the no-fly list, you should be under more investigation, because there's a reason you're on that no-fly list. Okay, but now you've got, they want to bring in more aliens. And again, I have nothing wrong with somebody coming into this country legally, being vetted, being done correctly. Okay, you know, it is the land of opportunity. I have no problems. But we are in a time of war. You can say whatever you want about what's going on. This is a time of war. Okay. We are fighting the terrorists. We are fighting people that you don't even know. Your neighbor could be a terrorist. Okay? You have a lot of these ISIS sympathizers and others. And you have a lot of people that are sick enough to try to do something, even if they're not. But yet, we continue to try to bring more in. And not only do we bring them in, but I don't know if you realize this, but when you bring somebody in like that, they get full benefits. They get welfare. They get unemployment, whatever. They get hospitalization. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of paying for that crap for somebody else. I had enough trouble paying for myself. Okay? you know, I don't understand where our geniuses believe this money is going to come from to pay for all this. So if you tie in the potential problems that they're going to create, if you tie in the cost of all this, if you tie in the unknown of they could possibly be terrorists, is this really what we want in our situation? I don't think that's what we're looking for. I think that you have to, you know, wonder who's running the who's running the establishment, okay? Because I certainly don't want it in my area. I'm as open as anybody to what anybody wants to be, but certainly I don't want to start bringing, you know, foxes into the hen house, especially if I don't know they're foxes. It doesn't make sense to me that we allow and we're considering doing this without doing it in the proper way. Now, do I know what the proper way? I do not know. I don't know what the proper way to do it is. I mean, you know, I guess the crude way would be to put them in camps first and vet them one at a time, you know, feed them and take care of them. But again, do we have to be the innkeeper for the world with what's going on? I think that becomes a problem as well. Again, I have no problem with somebody coming into this country legally, okay? But you know what? I'm really tired of the amounts of money that I have to pay personally to take care of all this. I'm really tired of the situations that are done, and I'm tired of the crime that is brought in through a lot of these. You know, I think we create a lot more victims when we do things of the unknown. Now, again, I'm all for doing it if it's done properly. But don't we have enough issues in this country as it is? And that becomes another issue that I have. Have you now noticed there's like more homeless all of a sudden? Now, everybody keeps saying how good the economy is, but yet I just came back from New York. Now, I go to New York once a month for a couple of days. I'm seeing more and more homeless every time I go there. Okay. Now, to me, that's a problem. Okay. To me, that becomes the bigger story is, you know, where are all these people going to go? We cannot put our own people to work. We don't have enough money to keep supporting everybody, of course, unless we continue to devalue our own. But is that the way to really grow? Is that the way to make a better economy? It is only if you want to be socialist. If you want the United States of America to end up like a Venezuela, and don't kid yourself that can't happen, okay? You know, everybody says it can't happen here. Well, you bet your ass it can happen here, okay? Bigger economies, in percentage-wise, can go down because when the money runs out and the people aren't eating, they're willing to do anything. When you're hungry, you are willing to do almost anything. What do you think made Hitler succeed? Okay? It was the timing. Okay? It was the way that he was able to speak to people, was able to convince them that was the right thing to do. So if you don't think that that's potentially going to happen again or could happen again, it could. Because, again, when you create poor people out of people that had money or of means, or you take a middle class and you starve them and you take away everything that they had worked for, you're going to create a much bigger problem overall because people will go for hope. And if somebody is selling hope, they're going to go for it. Again, when you end up and you lose the ability to eat, the ability to live, you will go almost anywhere and you will follow almost anybody. And if you continue to allow this to happen, you're going to create that kind of situation. And I think that's one of the problems with spending and bringing in all these people now that would create a more of a stress on an economy that is already stressed about as far as it can be stressed too. I mean, I don't know where they think we're going to get and put people to work. we don't have enough jobs now. We have 94.7 million people are not working in this country now. We have an actual unemployment rate of over 10%. Okay. Add another, you know, 600,000 people to that. Okay. You can't, the numbers, the math does not work out. You cannot make things appear, especially when you're now taking all of your money and all your jobs and you're moving them offshore. Okay. So where does the model work when you bring in the rest of the people? Okay. Now you've got people competing over for the same job. Okay. And again, competition is great for employers. It's great for people, for workers, but it's not great when you're bringing in people that have an advantage going in, which is a lot of subsidies when they come into this country. Okay. So that becomes a bigger story and a story that has to be really looked at. But when you have a socialist for a president and you have a government that is way too big and the individual states don't have the power anymore, this is what you're creating. And this creation can only mean that we are headed down a path that will lead you to socialism. Now, if you want to live in a socialism, go to Canada, go to Venezuela. There's a lot of places that you can go live in socialism. But if you haven't noticed, they all fail. Because at the end of the day, the model doesn't work. You cannot continue to pay out more money than you take in, no matter what you're doing. Even Bernie Madoff got caught. Okay, everybody runs out eventually. That's why you have to be productive and produce so that you can support. If you think that you can continue to print and give out and give and give and give, you're going to find out that you're going to be broke, you're going to be hungry, and you're going to have a revolution. And I do believe that the revolution has already started. Okay, I do believe that we're starting to see parts of it now. And again, it doesn't announce, just like markets, they don't announce themselves. But you continue to beat people down. You continue to eliminate their jobs. They've got to do something. And people either decide that their life is over and they end it, or they live on the street and they fight back. And you're doing a disservice to the entire country by creating more of this type of situation, because that's not who we are. That's not who we should be. And certainly, with what's going on today, we could bring back all those manufacturing jobs and not have to support the rest of the world and let people work here. Because now you've broken the union, you've taken everything apart, you can start over and you can start rebuilding from right here, paying a reasonable, livable wage for a product. Just one man's opinion. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you there. You can download it every single day, including the Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, we talked a lot today, a lot of stuff, and, of course, I did my usual bash job on the Fed. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, I think is very serious, and one of the things that troubles me is, you know, people continue to talk about politics. And listen, everybody's entitled to their views. I can't be mad at you whoever you want to vote for. But I think that one of the things we've seen over time is everybody says, well, the political way, you're not a politician. And I go, maybe it's time we get rid of politicians and get real business guys involved here. So here I'm in New York, and I become very friendly with Anthony Scaramucci, who is from Skybridge Capital. Unbelievably successful guy, and built a great life. And believe it or not, as we talk about here often on the Bubba Show, he rose from the ashes. Okay, he came from failure to be tremendously successful. which is why we always encourage everybody to try things, because failure is not a bad thing. Failure is how you learn to be better. Okay. But here's a guy that actually at one time in his career was fired from Goldman Sachs. Believe it or not, got rehired 6 weeks later in a different department with Goldman Sachs. Okay. But just a guy that got it. So I'm talking to Anthony, and we're sitting around, and I'm going, you know, Anthony, who do you think? You know, he's doing a lot of work for Trump, okay? And he's gone from basically a Trump. He did not support, let's put it this way, he did not support Trump the entire time. But now that Trump's the guy, he's in full support, and he's actually doing a lot of help and working with him and helping him move his campaign. But now, how would you like to have a guy like Anthony Scaramucci as your vice president? Here's a guy that gets it. Okay. Family came over, his grandmother came over as an immigrant. Okay. Did what she had to do to take care of her family. Here's a guy that gets the picture, that knows that life is hard work. Nobody's out there handing you packages. Okay. You got to do your thing. But here's a guy that went through all the things that we've all gone through, went to college, built up tremendous debt. And, you know, when he's a little older, you know, he's in his 50s. But when he went to college, you know, the college wasn't what my kids are paying right now. But you build up a lot of debt and you come out, and how the hell are you going to pay it back? But now he's built an empire, not only in his fund of funds, which he became a guy that knew his business was in trouble and reversed his way out of it to make it successful. Not only has he now become a face in the media before Trump, but now even more so, but he was a contributor at Fox. Now he brought back my dad's favorite show, and obviously you guys know how I feel about my dad, who's passed away, but Wall Street Week, you can see it on Fox. But here's a guy that, again, understands the world, understands a business model, understands how you go through things, but it takes work and it takes people and it takes creating the desire to make people want to work and do things, to do it the right way. And this is something that I think we're sorely lacking throughout history, or recent history, is people in office that actually give a crap about what is going on with the country, not in it for themselves or their own pocketbook. I think that when you look at a guy like this, here's a guy that's got the heart of a champion, okay, that gets how to make everybody better around him, understands that we're not all on the same level, but you know what? He understands that you have to treat people all on the same level, because it's a part of life. So if you take a guy like this and put him as the vice president, you could call him a buffer to Trump. But here's a real guy, okay? Not a politician. I don't know that he's ever been in politics whatsoever, other than being supportive. But here's a guy that runs a $13 billion corporation. Here's a guy that runs the famous SALT conference, which all the networks run to. Here's a guy that worked for twice Goldman Sachs, and you know I'm not a big fan of Goldman Sachs, of what they do, but certainly they are the smartest guys in the room, and if they recognize this guy's ability, I don't know how you could not recognize it. But here's a guy that has the best interest of everybody, because what does he know? Well, he knows what we talk about here all the time. If everybody succeeds, you know, we all succeed to a different level, okay? Success for one guy might be making $50,000 and he could be happy. Another guy might be $500,000 and they'll both be equally happy. But until you do that, okay, and until you put that together and have somebody who understands that, that all everybody wants to have is fair and equal, okay? And like I said, it's easily done if we get somebody in there who is not bought and paid for by the corporations, okay? And that's where I think a guy like a free speaker, a freewheeler, who really speaks from the heart when he talks. Okay, I heard him speak a couple of times, but I had a chance to see him on Wednesday night at a conference. Man, I'll tell you, I was ready to run up there and go crazy. I mean, but this is the kind of guy that I believe should be a running mate, because he's a well-rounded person that has been through the trials and tribulations of everything and understands what it is to be persecuted against. You know, look, we all know that, you know, groups in this country, Jews, Italians, okay, we've all been persecuted against, African Americans, okay? You have to be able to get above that. And that's where a guy like this does everything. So not only does he understand the financial end of the world and how we need to fix the problems, and again, he's going to come on the show and you'll hear him speak and talk about what he would do. But not only do you get a guy who understands the finance, because again, right now we have nobody. There's nobody that I know of in our government that understands finance, unless they just know enough to glom on what they can. Don't tell anybody about it. But there's nobody I know that knows enough about it. But here's a guy that is a champion, a professional, that understands the world, understands what it takes to move, understands what it takes to be a failure. And believe me, as I know, as you know, I talk about this all the time. If you've never failed, you haven't tried hard enough. Because the only way that you can get better, the only way that you can survive, the only way you can get to the next level is to be a failure. Okay? Because you learn from your failures. We talk about this regularly. And we need somebody there who's willing to step up and say, hey, if we fail, you know, we know what the results are. We know what to do. We know how to fix it. But, you know, take a guy like this, you know, that's just well-rounded, well-respected, hated by a lot, you know, because he is media. He is politics. You know, he is a hedge fund. I mean, I love all those things about him. I think it's great. Again, I'm a big believer in however you can get there, whatever you need to do to take care of your family, you do it. And I believe as a vice president, he'd be in Trump's ear saying we need to do better for the American people. And that's what I believe you should look at. And I would hope that somehow this message will get to Mr. Donald Trump, because out of all the people I could think of, he would be my number one choice of a vice presidential candidate, because in my eyes, the man gets it. The man's a professional. The man is smart. He's rich, but he loves what he does. And you know what? We talk about this a lot. He loves to work. Why? Because he doesn't really work, because he enjoys what he do. And you know, if you do something you love, you ain't working. Anyways, check him out. Look him up. You'll see him. We're going to talk more about him, but great guy. Anthony Scaramucci. Let's hope he's the next vice president with the next president of Donald Trump. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure if you miss an episode, check out libertytalk.fm. You can download the show every day. Again, we've just passed 225,000 downloads a month, and we're trying to get to 300. I need your help. And so go check it out. This is The Bubba Show. We have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.